to a Hope 103.2 podcast.
Well, we're taking a tour through one of my favourite parts of the Bible, the letter of James, written by James, the brother of Jesus. We're up to chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Read along if you have a Bible open. If not, just listen. James 1, 9 to 11. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. The ideas hinted at in this paragraph are going to re-emerge with force in chapter 2, chapter 4, and chapter 5. Right now, though, James just wants to call on believers, regardless of their status in life, to view their circumstances theologically. That is, in terms of God's creation and redemption, not socially, in terms of wealth and poverty. The humble believer mentioned here is the one who is economically poor. He should take pride, James says, in his high position, a reference, of course, to his status as God's child. The rich Christian, on the other hand, is to contemplate his or her low position, which is literally humble position. What low position does James mean? Well, even the wealthy will pass away like the wildflower. Despite their aspirations to the contrary, the rich people of this world are not lords over creation. They are just creatures within it. In other words, while poor Christians are to think of themselves in light of their glorious salvation in Christ, rich Christians are being urged here to recall their createdness. They and their wealth will pass away just as flowers fade in the scorching sun. Much of what the Bible says turns our thinking upside down. I mean, Jesus told us to love our enemies and pray for our persecutors. We're challenged to forgive, to turn the other cheek, to be generous and not selfish, to humble ourselves, to love the outcasts and seek the good of others. Now, none of these things is popular. It's unlikely that any of them will become trendy. This upside-down thinking is very clear in these verses from James. The idea of the rich taking pride in their low position and the poor exalting in a high position flies in the face of popular wisdom. For the poor and rich today, these ideas probably seem preposterous, unless, of course, they appreciate God's creation and redemption. When we adopt the divine perspective, though, we'll see that material success is just temporary and fleeting, and we will value our place in God's family as the true wealth. Those who are rich, which I reckon probably includes most of us in the West, should probably remember their low position before the Creator. Those who are poor should focus on how far God in Christ has lifted them up by His grace. That's what James is saying here. What do we truly value? What are we passionate about? Where do we place our resources, our time and energy? What occupies our daydreams? See, how we answer these questions reveals a lot about where our heart lies. It's easy to be seduced by what the world thinks is valuable. There's great allure in status, wealth and power. And who of us can claim not to be attracted to just a little bit more wealth or the intoxicating nature of success and status? In their 2005 book, Affluenza, Clive Hamilton and Richard Dennis examine modern society's chronic obsession with wealth and its failure to provide lasting satisfaction. These guys don't have any overtly religious motivation for their study, but their argument would find a lot of support from James. Here's their account of the problem with riches. Once people become affluent, they continue to believe that more money is the key to a happier life, when the evidence suggests that it makes no difference beyond a certain threshold. This belief has powerful personal and social ramifications, not the least being that the affluent become more preoccupied with themselves. That is why Australians are richer than ever, but less inclined to sympathise with the dispossessed. These authors go on to list alarming statistics and research related to the sickness of obsession with material acquisition. They report that nearly two-thirds of Australians say that they can't afford to buy everything they really need. Not what they want, but what they really need. Australia is one of the richest countries in the world. Real incomes are three times what they were in 1950. Yet there's a deep dissatisfaction with material gains. The authors of Affluenza suggest that the typical family's desired standard of living is so far above what they can actually afford that people feel like they're deprived. Well, James reminds us that worldly success is illusory and deceptive. He highlights instead the authentic and lasting riches which are found in relationship with God. Now, I know these things are easy to say. They're much harder to live. We all need to pray for the sort of wisdom James calls on us to have. So let me do just that. Dear Lord, my Creator and my Redeemer, forgive me for those times I've lost perspective on wealth. Help me to understand my place in your creation and my status as your child. Enable me to live with humility before you and others and confidence in your unfailing grace. Through Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen.
Hope 103.2. Thanks for listening.